Hi everyone, welcome back to Uncensored. I'm super excited. Today I have the naughty girls. So Captain Brenda and First Mate slash stewardess Tara, welcome guys. Thank you for being here today with us.
Thanks for having us.
Appreciate it.
I love that you guys are wearing pink. I never even like
it's a big hit. It's a big hit with everybody.
Yeah. So for you guys that don't know who these ladies are, they are a all woman crew of an 85 footer. And they're making, they're paving the way for many of the women within the industry and those who are not part of the industry yet. I think really as a woman, period, it's not just it's like whatever we do, we're paving the way for the future generations and even the present, right? Totally. So let's talk a little bit about, you guys are all woman crew. So Captain, what's your story? How did you end up being a captain? And then how do you end up deciding, fuck this shit, I'm going to get an all woman crew. It's like, okay.
I started about 20 years ago. I used to work for a company called CETO. And I was with them for about 5 years. And then a buddy of mine was asking me if I wanted to get into the yachting industry. It was a really hard start for me because it was actually in the early 2000s when I started. nobody really wanted to hire the female captains. So I got a lot of the jobs that people didn't want to take.
I got you where, no way, unstable. I got you where you started and then, early 2000s and a lot of people didn't want to hire females and then you got stuck with shitty jobs. Is that what you were saying?
Yeah, the shitty jobs that people didn't want, like on the crappy boats that are like barely floating and the awful clients and owners and stuff that people didn't want, or the last minute jobs that, were kind of just like hand-me-downs that nobody wanted. So I had to start off doing those particular jobs, and I've had my fair share of rough incidences, and it's got me to where I am now. It didn't last, long. It lasted a couple of years until I started to get my own clients. Like everything else takes time. You got to start at the bottom and work your way up. Yeah. So it was a challenging start, but it's gotten me to where I am today, which is a pretty comfortable place. So
my question to you is, I have talked to a lot of women who are trying to get into the deck department and, hopefully become captains one day. But I see that there's so much struggle and not just, with the industry, but within themselves, mm-hmm. And I also have talked to other people like you that have made it to the other side. And the one thing that I see, there's a difference between the ones who make it, although some of those that do make it are still struggling, but I'm saying successfully make it without the struggle,
right?
The ones that continue to struggle. And the difference that I saw was that at certain point, they decided this is not about what the industry believes, what society believes about women, is that what I believe about myself to make it happen, Because a lot of the times I see that a lot of women blame and become victimized within their own selves of like, oh, the yachting industry is so patriarchal and, it's super sexism and all this. And, just like blaming the industry versus taking responsibility of like, what's going on with you that's reflecting that. So it's blocking you from actually doing what you want to do. You know what I mean? Like, yes, of course. I'm not saying all this other shit doesn't happen. Yes, it does happen. But it doesn't just happen to women. It also happens to men, to anybody. Mm-hmm. Like we can talk about genders and racism and all sorts of shit, right? And like preferences of, sexual preferences. Like, so I'm kind of wondering, what was it for you? Do you still struggle with that? Or did you get to that point where you were like, you know what, this is not about the industry accepting me, it's about me accepting myself that I can actually achieve this?
Right. It was more something within myself. This is an industry to where you definitely need some confidence within yourself and believe that you can do things like this. Everybody can do it. You just need to believe in yourself that you can. It's been, I kind of let that go a while ago. to where I just didn't really care what anybody said or thought or whatever, because I wanted to make my own name for myself. And as challenging it has been, it's come with its amazing rewards and perks and things like that. And I mean, you know, I'm a tatted up female that, you know, in the industry, it's like very unheard of. And I mean, you know, you can pretty much make anything happen as long as you can like believe in yourself and push forward.
Exactly. And I love that you're like breaking so many myths, you know, of the industry. It's like, oh, if you're tat, right, forget it. You're never going to get a job. If you're a woman, forget it. You're going to struggle so much. If you're this, or, you know, so I love that you're like representing that, hey, it's fucking possible. You know what I mean?
Right. Like if you don't like me and how I am.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. If you don't like me and how I am and how I look, then I probably don't want to work for you anyway.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And I feel like these days, you know, back in the day, the yachting industry was with, you know, older people, you know, the owners mm-hmm. were quite old, very conservative, all that. I mean, conservative, yet they fuck little kids, you know, so I don't know. But these days there is more of a young kind of mentality and more open-minded, and the owners have tattoos, and you know, it's like, it's kind of like the industry has evolved as well,
right?
You know, from the inside out, and that has also opened the opportunity for crew to be more of themselves, you know,
right,
be accepted, sure. You know, for having, you know, for being themselves. What the fuck is that tattoo? You know, like, does it bother you?
We're
like,
people too. Yeah. We're people with personalities too.
You. But okay. Awesome. So now you're a captain successfully, and you have decided to hire a all girls team. And people may think, why the fuck would she do that? Right. Like, isn't yachting about diversity? Right. Cause this word is being like thrown out like so much these days about, you know, having diversity on board. And I'm just kind of wondering, like, why was it something that just happened, or was it an intentional thing of like, no, I would just want to work with an all female crew?
It started off, gosh, it must've been probably about 6 years ago. And I had always used to run with a male mate and a female stew. And then I kind of wanted to push the boundaries a little bit and do something different and just work with females. I mean, a lot of the times people are a little bit more comfortable with them. And they seem to, you know, work a little bit better. No offense to males, are a little bit more patient, a little bit more attention to detail kind of thing. And so I wanted to start from there and start, you know, doing something and pushing the boundaries a little bit more to where you don't see that. And it was something exciting for me. And I'd like to start doing it a little bit more. I'd like to see it a little bit more because everything that they're doing is, I mean, they're doing everything that a male mate would do. And it's amazing. And both the girls that I use are fantastic, and I'm super proud of them, and I really wouldn't have it any other way. Just, you know, when you get like a nice little group together, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah, and I guess it also comes down to the person, it's, you know, itself, whether it's like male mm-hmm. or female. But what is the biggest difference with working with all female crew versus a diverse crew where there's obviously male and female together? Like, what's the biggest difference that you have noticed?
Normally I've noticed that with working with all females, it's been less like high school kind of, because when you start having the male and female dynamic, and it's kind of like going back to high school again, where everybody's like clicky and picking their little groups, or they're sleeping with each other or making out or whatever, and that tends to cause issues when you're on long trips for long periods of time and you're, you know, with these people in tight quarters for so long. And with females, I've noticed, yes, it comes with its fair share of bitching at each other, but we seem to be able to work through it and, you know, just get the job done. Cause we're, at the end of the day, we're all here to do a job and we just want to get it done so we can enjoy ourselves, make some good money and go home.
Mm. And how about you, Tara? Have you had the opportunity to work with other boats where there's obviously male and female, and now you're working with an all female crew? How's that for you? What's the biggest difference for you?
My experience is definitely less than Captain's, but I would say Yachties, I feel like we can be kind of big personalities usually. Like, we all have a little bit of an ego. You have to kind of have an ego to deal with Mother Nature every day, right? Like, we're going out in the ocean, we're dealing with people. So we all have egos, but I find usually when I'm working with guys, it's like, oh, don't worry, I've got this. Or like, no, I'll get the lines for her. Or I'll get the lines for them. Or like, I've got the heavy lifting, which is fine. Like, I don't always want to lift the heavy things, but sometimes it's like, no, I got this. Like, watch me move. Like, you feel like you have to prove yourself. Whereas like when I'm working with all like our girls, nobody's proving themselves. We're all doing the same amount of work. We're all doing the same amount of heavy lifting. If I'm going to lift something, you're going to lift something. And like, Captain always expects us to learn exactly what the other person's doing. If I don't know how to do something, I'm going to go learn how to do it. If they don't know, I'm going to teach them. It evens it out a little bit. I feel like with men, there's always a little bit of like dick throwing around sort of. And like, I don't need to prove that mine's bigger, but sometimes they feel like I do.
Okay. Well, yeah, that's interesting. I guess it's also comes down to the way we were brought up in society, right? It's like,
totally.
As a woman, this is your place. You just do this. As a man, this is what you do. And it's a subconscious thing of like, you know, most of us probably were also treated like that in childhood, and then society collectively continues to do so. So it's almost like without being conscious, we continue to play those roles. And then there comes that place where like the women are struggling because they feel like they need to prove themselves more, when in reality, they really don't. Just fucking do your job, period. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
And then I think it's that thing of like getting out of that mindset, you know, both people, like the male and the female, of like, hey, like, what is your duty? Like, and this is the truth though. One of the things, and this is one of the questions that I have for you guys, you know, we are cyclical as a woman. We menstruate. We go through different phases throughout the month. And that does implicate that for at least 1 or 2 weeks, definitely when you're bleeding, you're gonna have a different energy than when you're not bleeding. You know what I mean? Like, it's just the reality of being a woman. So I wonder, like, I actually teach women in the yachting industry how to implement their menstrual cycle in the process of working, because it's not going anywhere, motherfuckers, you know? You gotta learn how to deal with it, right? And not going against it, but going with it. And one of the things that I learned is like, when your energies are high, low, so then you know what type of duties you're actually gonna succeed more. And then when you're not, then delivering that duty to somebody else that can actually perform it better, right? Because it's for the betterness of the whole group, not just, you know, ourselves and that. But I'm just kind of wondering, how does that work for you guys?
Well, for sure. Like, I think being on an all-girl crew is great for that, because you can literally, like, if the other girl we work with, I remember we were out on a trip and like we had to have breakfast ready by like 7 a.m. and we were all exhausted. We had been up since 3 a.m. the night before, and she was menstruating, and like she was like on day 2 of her period, and she woke up, she was like, bro, I cannot get out of bed right now. And I was like, fine, heard. I got you. I'll set the table. Like, if Captain's menstruating, we're all like, oh my God, run. No, I'm just kidding. But like, you know, you can be like, hey, I'm on my period. I'm having really bad cramps. I can't do service right now. I can't make another cocktail and smile right now. Like, I just can't do it. I'm done. And then you like tap out and you tap in for somebody else. And it's because, you know, they're going to do that for you and you get it. Whereas if you're working with a guy, I feel like there's like a shame around it, and you're not.
He's gonna tell you to fuck up.
Yeah, he's gonna tell you to fuck up. Like, oh, you know, it's not that bad. And you just want to like strangle them, and then you don't like want to say anything. And that's the other thing, is like, you don't want to be like that girl on her period who's emotional. So, working with the female crew, it levels it out. It gives you an opportunity to not be judged for something natural happening to your body.
Exactly, and one of the things that I have encountered though, like, because I haven't had the opportunity to work with an all-female crew. I have worked with female captains. I have worked with female mates, you know, all that, but not like an entire crew of female. But one thing I did encounter, that when I started to implement menstrual rest on board and just like teaching the girls, because a lot of women don't even know about their own menstrual cycle, right?
Mm-hmm.
we used to have crew meetings where I would teach the boys what's happening when we're menstruating. And it was amazing how they would all be like, oh, and having questions. And, you know, and totally. It was amazing how they, you realize like, okay, it's not that they don't care, it's that they're ignorant to this. So how can they support something they don't understand? And it goes the same with women, you know, like most of the women don't even understand their own cycle. So it's like, how can mm-hmm. they be supportive of other women, right? Because mm-hmm. I have seen women say, oh, this bitch, you know, she's on her cycle, whatever, versus like saying like, hey, are you okay? How can I help you? Like, do you need to rest, et cetera, you know? So, and I have to say that with men specifically, captains, when I tell them and I say something about blood, they're like, yeah, that's fine. Like, whatever you want. Like, it's good. And then it gives me that opportunity to, you know, implement it and then actually educate them, because they do need mm-hmm. to be educated. And that education then transfers to them having, they become so much more compassionate towards the girls. Mm-hmm. They mm-hmm. stop the whole bullying thing around, you're on your cycle, you know, kind of thing. Like they will say like, you're on your bicycle kind of bullshit, like meaning, you know, you're gonna go crazy now. It just really shifted a lot of things, but I think because of, you know, the lack of education towards that, obviously that's a big thing. So another thing is, what is the biggest challenge of working with an old woman crew?
I guess for me, and this is just for me and the particular girls that I have been working with recently, I would like the women that I work for, and I've had a lot of issues with this with other male captains where like their stews don't know how to do lines and fenders and stuff like that. So I like my crew to be versatile. And I mean, with these particular women, the only thing, I guess my only problem would be the fact that they don't know a lot of the mechanical aspects that I do, which they're still learning. So it's still like a learning process. But other than that, they're capable of doing everything that a male could do. I mean, we're doing all the heavy lifting, we're doing all the stuff with the dinghies and stuff like that. And they're driving them around and whatnot. my only downfall would be if like something happens or whatever, or driving at the helm and whatnot, which they're still learning, would be my only issue.
Okay,
but that's so all something like that over time
is more of like, having certain skills, I guess. And
those skills
are something you have to go and invest and money in.
Oh, a lot of women, unfortunately, don't possess those skills just because they don't
have the opportunity.
They don't have the opportunity to do that. Or I think that's what they need. And, you know, that's kind of where a lot of the males come in, because they do have a lot of those skills. But with me running this operation with these women, like we've managed to do just fine. And we've done Bahamas trips and stuff like that. And it's never at the moment been an issue, knock on wood.
Basically like a good idea for those women who want to be on deck, to not just focus on the deck, investing on just the deck department, but also investing in learning a little bit about engineering.
Yes, of course. It's a good thing. There's just basics.
Going into a small boat, they'll have mm-hmm. to step up in that sense.
Yeah, especially in the range that we work in, like we don't, you know, we're not running 10 people or 15 people, like it's two or three of us at most. So, you know, if something happens, like we have an electrical issue and our captain's not here, like we need to know where the breakers are to flip. We need to know how to switch over to generators. Like we, you know, and we're not necessarily going to know that with most captains. People aren't going to volunteer that information. So like, if you're trying to get into deck work or you're trying to get into captaining, ask. Or be like, hey, are you going to go turn over from shore to generator? Can I come watch? Are you going to go fix this breaker? Can I come figure it out? Are we having engine issues? Can I come hold the flashlight so I can see? Because they're not going to offer that opportunity to you. You have to go and take it. You just have to. Female or male. You have to ask.
So I guess it's really important for those captains that are listening now, you know, it's also your duty to also teach others.
Correct.
Vessels, because on bigger vessels, you have watches. So you kind of have to know, because the engineer will usually more than likely teach you how to do that. What happens, blah, blah. You know, like we're on call, but you're here. So if something happens, you have to do it. So they kind of do teach you certain things. I mean, a bigger vessel is a bit different, but the basics are the same thing. So that's your biggest challenge. And for Tara, what's your biggest challenge working with that all-female crew?
I think it just comes back to personalities. And like, I'm newer to the industry than anybody that I work with. So for me, it can be hard when you're learning and you're starting out and you do know stuff. And then you're working with some women that are strong and opinionated and mouthy. And so, so you're like kind of getting talked down to, and you have to set your ego aside. And I think it can feel a little catty and like, it can feel a little emotional, but you have to just like take that out of it and step out of it and humble yourself and like be willing to learn, even if it's something you already know. So for me, it's definitely hard. It would be easier for me to be mad at a guy and like just brush it off for being a dick than it is for me to be like, oh, she's being rude to me or she's being mean to me. Like, I feel like I take it personally when I shouldn't. And that maybe is just like a personal thing, but definitely, you know, intense, big personalities, especially same gendered personalities, it feels like a reflection of yourself. It feels like a mirror of yourself. So like being able to just step away, it is. Yeah. It is a mirror of yourself. So you see, you have to just be able to like step away and be like, okay, you know what? That's not personal. That's not me. This is just the experience we're having today.
Right.
So yeah, that's definitely the biggest thing for me.
And I guess like being at all, you know, like when you're with women, we tend to be very quickly more like bonding with each other and like finding mm-hmm. trust, right? Quite easily, right. Versus like with a guy, we may take like a little bit of time to like find that mm-hmm. space. But where with woman, you kind of like, if you hit it off, you hit it off quickly.
Right.
It's like, oh yeah, we're sisters, you know? Mm-hmm. And then it's like super, super intense, you know? And then if something happens, like, oh my God, like, yeah, my ego is being crushed because you know.
Yeah.
But I think, yeah, what you said is really important, that it is, you know, everything outside of us, it is a mirror of what's happening within us. And of course, it's not literal sometimes. Sometimes it is. Sometimes it's not. But sometimes it's something that the other person's kind of showing you. So you can be like, oh, shit, let me step back, see what's here for me. Let me do my mm-hmm. inner work. And then that reflection can change. But also, I see that a lot of times it comes down to having boundaries. And I see this often in the industry where a lot of people don't know their boundaries because they haven't taken the time to say, what am I a yes for? What am I a no for? What's my limits? What are my desires? And when there's no, you know, their boundaries is just this block, you know? And yeah. It's like, well, that's not a boundary. That's a fucking wall, you know?
Right.
So I see this often where people don't understand their boundaries and then people start crossing them. And it's like, mm-hmm. well, it's not that they crossed them. They didn't know it was a boundary. So, you know, maybe that's how the person needs to learn what their boundaries are. So, and yeah, that's just something that came up for me when you were talking about like boundaries, because I see this often on board. And, you know, it's crazy because on board we live and work together. And it's like we breathe on each other. And it's like, holy shit, you know, like, you know everything about this person, you know? It's like,
yeah,
sometimes. So if you could give an advice to women out there, you know, who feel that, and not just as a deck department, you know, and trying to be a captain, because I also see this, you know, any person, you know, any woman in the industry, they feel like there's some sort of sexism happening, you know, on board or within the industry, like as a collective, you know what I mean? Not just the boat, because a lot of people say, oh, that's just yachting. You know, like the collective mm-hmm. of it. It's like, oh, racism, that's just yachting. Sexism, that's just yachting. It's like, mm-hmm. well, it's
oh, like, yeah, no, that's in like almost every industry.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And it's like, mm-hmm. stop blaming yachting, take responsibility for your shit and fucking follow through if you want to make it to right. the other side, you know?
Exactly.
So, and I'm not saying like, you know, I'm not putting down women or anything like that. I'm a woman, for God's sake. But I'm kind of like a little bit tired of the same victimization that we are putting right. ourselves mm-hmm. in. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, like, when does it end? It ends mm-hmm. when we stop it. Because right. we're allowing the industry or like the male or whatever, whoever we see as the perpetrator to feed that victimization, right? Because we're like
right. in the
process. So what's your advice for women that are finding themselves in that position and they're realizing as we're talking, holy shit, like it's time for me to like get out of my way, get out of my victim, you know, perception and move forward so I can make this happen?
And then we come back to confidence.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
But that's what pretty much the women need. You need the confidence to be able to do that, to ask questions, to ask for help, to ask, to learn, to want to be more involved. And sometimes you have to put those things aside and have more power for yourself. And again,
so how do you arrive to that place of like, I got this shit?
For me, it's kind of like a mental thing. I mean, I've had certain issues and things that happened in the past, and sometimes you just have to compartmentalize and put those things aside. And if you see a vision that you want to be successful and you want to do it, then you have to put those things aside in order to move forward.
Do you feel like that whatever issues you had in the past, you kind of saw them as a drive and you were like, okay, this should happen, not cool, but this is going to even make me more, you know, kind of like making you more to want that even more. So you could.
Exactly.
And is
somebody telling you can't do something and
that you did to shift lack of confidence to like, I got this.
Just came out of the womb, happy as hell.
Maybe. I don't know. I mean, I guess I've always had some kind of a confidence booster. I mean, and it goes back to something from way back when, being a kid and being picked on all the time. And my mindset was more of like, you know, people are picking on you and doing things and whatnot. I'm like, man, this is what you're doing on your Saturday while I'm out like having a good time and enjoying myself. And it's, I just kind of like put that aside and felt sorry for them and just went about my life and like moved on. And that's made me a confident person. And I mean,
yeah, it's like, I think it's just about changing your mindset. Like, it's very easy to be a victim. It's very easy to be like, oh, somebody's picking on me. That's because I'm not good enough. You know, I'm not getting the job because I don't know how to do this or that. It's like, no, like, this is a learning opportunity and they're picking on you because they're having a bad day or because they're an asshole or because they just weren't raised right or whatever. But like, it's about changing the way you think about other people, and it's going to change the way you think about yourself. Like, mm-hmm. It's all a learning opportunity. It's all a chance to ask a question or to let something go or to let somebody else deal with that problem because it's not your issue, and then move on and just do what's right for you. That's the only way you're going to be successful, is you just keep pushing forward for yourself and for that dream that you have pictured for yourself, whatever it may be.
Right. So it comes down to choosing you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, like
every day.
A lot of people think like there's these big processes you have to make. And yes, of course, there's a lot of things that you can do. But at the end of the day, no matter what that action ends up being, at some point you have to say, I choose me.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm going to go for it. And that's, you know, and I feel like when you make that choice, which is the choice that you made when you were little and you said, you know what, I feel sorry for these people, I'm going to have a good day. You know,
yeah.
Like that subconsciously choosing compassion over, you know, victimization and being like, you know what, I see where you're at. I may not understand you, but it's cool. I'm going to do me. And that was like a conscious choice that you made when you were a kid that you were able to also replicate as an adult.
Right.
When this pattern kept, you know, showing itself. And then you were like, oh shit, wait, I've been here before. Let me do the same thing. Let me choose myself again. And I think that's
that positive mindset.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's not easy, but it is something.
Yeah, nothing's ever perfect.
No, and nobody's perfect, and nobody's going to wake up every day and be like, yeah, I got this. But you, like you said, you have to make that choice to find something good in the day, or to find a reason to feel like you got it, or to find something to learn, or, you know, you have to just make that choice consciously. We see so many people in this industry that get burnt out, that are negative, that, you know, guys, girls, what, everything in between, like people that are just like, oh, you know, I'm Puerto Rican, so I can't get the nice jobs because this industry is racist. I'm a female, so I can't be a captain because
I'm Puerto Rican.
Well, like, we see it all the time. And like, especially in Miami, like it happens all the time. Yeah. And it's like, yes, okay, sure. They're not hiring you because you're Puerto Rican. They're not hiring you because you're a female. They're not hiring you because you don't have the experience, but it's your choice to internalize that. Or it's your choice to be like, all right, this is not the person I want to work for, or this is not the job I wanted, or I've got a better opportunity.
When that kind of stuff happens where you're like constantly like, oh, I'm not being, you know, I can't get a job because of this X, Y, Z, whatever it is that you're saying, it's really just an excuse, you know, it's an excuse to continue to be in that poor me mentality versus like, you know what? No, get your head out of your ass, go do what you need to do, believe that you can get the job and then you can get it. You know, the same with like money, you know, like I have worked on boats where I make more money with the, than the engineer. Mm-hmm. And people are like, how the fuck? I was like, I value myself differently. That's why.
Right.
I asked
for it. He gets what he believes. Yeah. I get what I believe.
Yeah, exactly.
Next.
You put your foot down.
Somebody else will, you know? So I think it comes down to that, you know? It's that choice of like, I'm choosing me. Like, nobody else is going to value me except they're only going to reflect how I value myself. So it comes down to how I want to value myself. So yeah, I definitely agree with you guys. So is there anything else that, and oh yeah, I did have a question about a whole crew member, you know, you choosing a whole crew of women. I kind of wonder, was it, and I think you already talked about this, where, you know, was it a preference or was it sexism, you know, where you were like, you know what, fuck this, I want more women. And, it, you know, I'm just kind of like wondering, where was it a preference, like a thing, or was it more like what you said, that you were kind of like, you know what, let's give it a go. Let's see what comes out.
It's definitely a preference to start off with. But then I just wanted to see more women in the industry. I mean, even for somebody as myself traveling, and when I'm traveling with a male and, you know, he's walking down from the flybridge and everybody greets him as the captain and they're like, no, it's her up there. And then everyone's like, what? And I mean, we kind of get the same response when we pull up to anywhere and everyone's like, you women are running this boat. And we're like, yeah, like we can do it too. And I wanted to see more of that. I mean, when I started off and, you know, like the early 2000s, I didn't even know another female captain. And I think in my 20 something like years of doing this, I've probably met two. And I know there's more out there. Me personally, I haven't met any of them. And I'd like to see that more. I'd like to see more women be dominant in the industry.
Yeah, absolutely. And like you say, you know, it's, I feel like doing something like how you're doing it, it's kind of, changing the, you know, like you're not the exception to the rule, you know, it's like making it normal, you know, like normalizing. Yeah. It doesn't matter, you know, like when somebody looks at a boat driving in, they don't expect a man, they expect a captain, whatever gender
a captain
is, mm-hmm. You know, it's like
whether it's male, female, tattoos, no tattoos,
exactly. Yeah. And I think it will only change by more women stepping up into that platform, you know, and saying like, you know, this is what I want to do, like, mm-hmm. Period.
Yeah,
because like it's not, I guess there are women pilots, but I guess not many. I'm not sure, actually, you know, like
there are. And I think I know there was an airline recently that had an all female crew. I think it was American.
Yeah, that's actually something we've noticed through our Instagram, because I always like hashtag female captain. I look at all the hashtags and I'll be like, captain, look at this, like female captain and her all girl, or like her crew, like in the like an airline pilot and stuff like that. Like, they are out there, but again, it's not what you expect to see when you get on a plane. It's not what you expect to see when you get on a boat. It's yeah, it's not the norm yet, but they're out there.
They are. Yes. I get super excited every time I see one.
Oh, yeah, we saw one in the air. She was like looking at the epaulets on this captain or this pilot, and she was like, that's the pilot. And I was like, oh my God, really? She's like, that's a female. And we were like, yes, goodbye. And I'm so excited about it.
I don't know if you know the Captain Lori Luca, if I'm not mistaken, that's her name. But there is a Facebook group, Empowering,
yes.
Women.
So I think there's like a lot of girls there that, women that are captain or, you know, in this thing. Mm-hmm. And of course, Jenny from She of the Sea. That's another where you know they're going into like diversity and equality, mm-hmm. and all this, and I think there's another thing called Girls on Deck on Instagram as well that I've seen.
Ooh,
kind of like share.
I don't think we follow that one.
Yeah, you should.
I'm not on so much social media as she is, so she would probably know more.
All right. Well, I don't have any more questions. I think we talked a lot of different things, and I feel like we have shared a lot of golden nuggets for not just for sure. but for the yachting industry. Is there something that you want to share before we wrap it up?
I mean, I just really hope to see more women out there being in charge.
Yeah, definitely. I want to see more women pulling in their captains, throwing lines, putting out fenders, doing all the heavy lifting, and don't be afraid to ask questions and just do it. Ask us questions. We're always available.
Yeah, when in doubt, ask questions for sure. Yeah, I agree. Yeah. Well, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much. I'm super excited to see you guys wearing pink. I am, actually. And I'm very happy that, you know, your guys are breaking the myths, you know, and you're breaking the standards of what yachting is meant to look like or be, because it's not. It's meant to be or look like what, you know, how we want that to happen, because without crew, there's no yachting, period. No.
Right. Like, yeah.
That's the reality.
And the crew makes the experience.
If you, have money. If you don't have crew, yeah. you don't have a boat, you know? Crew
exactly.
The boat, you know?
So, yeah, it's true. Yeah, absolutely. Amazing. Definitely. Thank you so much for having
Thank
us.
You so much. Really
so,
appreciate
by the
it.
Way, where can they find you on social media if they want to follow you guys?
We're just on Instagram, Naughty Girl Crew. We don't have a Facebook page or anything like that. We're always posting on that Empowering Woman and Captains on Call and stuff like that. But yeah, Naughty Girl Crew, you can follow us there on Instagram.
Awesome. And I'll put the link below the video so you can just click and go follow them. Well, thank you so much, Captain Brenda. And
thank you. Appreciate it.
Tara, I really appreciate this time with you guys. And I had so much fun just kind of like, yeah, just bashing around and just talking.
Yeah.
We appreciate
wisdom.
It.
Shit full of wisdom. So until next time, guys, this is Uncensored. I'm Maria from Yachts Mermaids. I'll see you later.